blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Sharanam, Gacchami. Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sava. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam, Sharanam, Gacchami. Dutyampi, Tatyampi, Sava. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangharam Sharanam Gacchami Dutyampi Tatyampi Saraha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by a compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by the passionate endeavor that results in goodness, by the passionate mindfulness that proves this path, by the passionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyamini tatiyamini savaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. Sunday morning groups are recorded. Is everybody comfortable, or is it stuffy in here?
Yes.
What did that mean? Yes,
I find it way too warm.
Could we crack open a window? Would people enjoy that? Just one, maybe? Thank you so much, Scott. I don't know which one would be safest, but a little air. Okay. After walking across the bridge and being almost blown away, you might want to do that in the meditation. That was glorious on the wild side.
Is it okay to bring this through a little closer to here, Gavin?
You could definitely bring it back, Jack, if that works for you, Janice. Yes. Go ahead. Just don't want to be in anybody else's energetic space, so I think we're good. Mark, do you want to bring it forward too? That way we'll all be aligned. Just move a little bit back, Janice. I'll put project.
Okay. Back here?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. All right, so what shall we look at this morning? Lakota.
Yesterday was so fun.
Yesterday was so fun.
Oh my gosh. And, every bit of it was amazing. And the African dancing part. It was so fun, and there were so many beautiful parallels to practice. Mm-hmm. I love the... so many. I love the conversation about how in that culture there's, or in certain dialects, there's no different word for singing, dancing, and music. Because why, you know, it all...
Why?
It's
why
all one experience.
It?
Yeah.
It's all one experience.
Yeah.
Only this parses it out.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And I was seeing, like, that's the experience that I have with practice, the teachings, sitting meditation, sangha, mm-hmm. this place, that it's all just one experience.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and may I project there, Likud? I think what we're looking at is that whole practice is coming to the rhythm that she talked about, right?
Yeah.
That we're all trying to find that rhythm of oneness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lose that which divides all of it into little bits.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so separation is a factor of ego.
Mm-hmm.
And when that doesn't exist, all that we experience mm-hmm. is the oneness. And mm-hmm. it's so, as you said, it's so fun.
So fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's such a sense of enjoyment and connection and all of those words we use to describe that
yeah.
experience.
So lit up. Yeah, and I love that word that you said, rhythm, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, and that talking about, you know, like little baby on mama's back, mm-hmm. like feeling the rhythm and just naturally learning the rhythm in this
yes.
way that's totally not intellectual. There's no conditioned mind in it. It's just this feeling, intuitive experience.
Feeling, intuitive experience.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And that's totally my experience of, well, and then I also love how she pointed out how, you know, conditioned mind gets in there and is like trying to figure, conditioned mind trying to dance is hilarious. Hilarious. It's like, oh, and I was watching, like, kind of going in and out of, like, intuitive feeling experience and conditioned mind trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's just such, you know, it's such a contrast. And,
yeah, such a contrast between conditioned mind trying to dance
yeah.
and the intuitive and sensing experience. And that self-consciousness that comes when we try to figure it out.
Yeah.
I love that comment she made about when you can, she can tell who's dancing.
Yeah.
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 Right? And we
obvious.
Know that experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's sort of what we're calibrating to in practice as well, is what you're pointing at.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The heartbeat of life.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
So I was seeing that in practice, too, that, you know, it's just amazing that, and again, watching kind of going in and out, because there's conditioned mind trying to do practice, and I project by everyone can see that, too. It's like,
yes.
Oh, I'm going to really do this, versus, you know, waking up, arriving here last night, and then waking up this morning, just feeling that intuitive sensing, just like, aligning with the rhythm of this place, of the rhythm of the heart, the rhythm of practice, and just instantly dropping into that with zero effort,
yeah.
no trying, no effort, just you know, and like, ooh, all the energy and all the flow, and it's beautiful and fun. And then watching that play back and forth, because it goes from that to, you know, it's so crazy that there's this conversation in conditioned mind that I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, that's somehow that's a skill that maybe some other special people have, and like, you can't, you, it says, you can't do that. You're cut off from that beautiful flow. And it's like, what? I was just there. I'm already doing that. And then there's this conversation about you can't. And it's like, that's just nuts.
Yes. Well, and if I may reflect a little bit what you're saying in a different framework, right? Look at it, because we're pointing at what the whole dancing experience was leading us to, that we're born to the rhythm,
mm-hmm.
right? It's
yeah.
what's intuitive for us, and we learn it just like the little baby on the mother's back. It is the natural rhythm that we're born to be in tune with life.
Yeah.
And then we get conditioned out of that process to believe that that rhythm is not what we're capable of.
Yeah.
And with practice, as you arrive at this place, there's been a skill that's been honed to drop into. We know how to resonate with life's frequency. Not only because it is our frequency, it's because we've practiced it. So we move from one place to another and watch life call to life and make that resonant oneness connection.
Mm.
And then we watch how this tries to take us away from that. And with all that language of, you can't do this, this is not what you are, other people can. And then just to come back and go, no, right here.
Mm.
Know that. So there's the recognition.
Mm-hmm.
the resonance of the experience, the knowing when we move away from it, and then the choice to come back to it, and the practice that makes that possible.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that it's that calibrating and that dropping is the skill.
Yes.
But there's no need to learn like how to dance, for example, or
yes.
to learn how to be here or be in tune with that intuitive sensing flow, that love. But that's what we are. We're born
right.
into it.
Yeah.
And then there's this artificial layer on top. So I guess the skill is just dropping that, because I don't have to learn how to be here.
Yes, it's such an important recognition for us. We don't have to learn what's natural for us. We just have to unlearn the unnatural.
That's it.
Drop
yeah.
it. Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Sequoia.
Wow, and just what a rich time. I guess every day is a rich time, but
it helps when there's a storm.
Yeah, lots get stirred up. First of all, I just want to say, I'm just having this renewed appreciation for recording and listening. I've just had some most amazing experiences lately with the recorder just as a tool to life just speak,
uh-huh.
you know, to what needs to be heard at that uh-huh. at that time. And it's like, wow.
Life speaks what needs to be heard at that time.
Yeah.
Wow, talk about resonant frequency of
yeah.
vibration.
Exactly. And one thing I heard this morning was that every act is a sacred act.
Mm-hmm. Every act is a sacred act.
Mm-hmm. And it's what and what we were just speaking to in a way, it's just like in that place of every act is a sacred act. Oh my gosh, it feels that it's my experience of feeling that resonance with life. When everything is approached like that,
yes.
like with the sacredness that is inherent in all of it.
Yes.
And
well, it comes back to one of we can what do you call it? Orient our practice with three simple phrases that have always been around. It's not what, but it's how.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
That if once yeah. we lose that sense of separation. And we look at the world as everything is sacred, every act is sacred, every person is sacred, every creature is sacred, this is sacred, and all of it's an act of worship.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, well, this is just so beautiful to look at and to embody and to continue to embody, especially as we do precepts renewal, it
oh,
seems.
Yes.
And I was just looking at, I received some guidance the other day when I had this bread baking experience when I left the important ingredient out, which, you know, it's kind of hard to cover up that maybe you weren't that present when, and then the guidance was about, referring to bread as worship, and it was that resonance then, like, oh, yes. Everything is worship, and I saw that I feel like that's what's being pointed to too when the guide says everything is included in the circle of acceptance.
Yes.
There are no mistakes. It's how could there ever be a mistake?
Yeah. So you don't make the bread right, you do another act of worship.
So that's a new idea. Exactly.
Yeah.
And.
That's so important to see, right, Sequoia, that it's not necessary. If everything is a sacred act, then no act is not sacred, including missing the ingredient.
Including those times of identification and those, it just feels like, oh my God, here again. And to just hold it in the sacredness of that, the journey
the journey
of yeah, yeah, and
it's wearing away, right? That
it's
is
the wearing, yeah.
That's the sacredness of the journey that
yeah.
we think that we have to achieve something.
Yes.
That an identification
yeah.
is actually a mistake.
Yeah.
But if we look at every encounter as a wearing away,
mm-hmm.
I suppose the image that just dropped in for me is the Grand Canyon, I bet, had a resistance to a lot of water. right? We're being carved. We're being carved out into something that is exquisitely beautiful. It's the, again, the Rumi, right? The beating of the rug. Like we experience the carving out process, but in practice we develop the experience of noticing what is being carved out instead, not just identifying with the resistance of being carved, right?
Yeah, and as you say that, I can see that, you know, just that surrender to the fear, you know, that arises when that carving is happening, and to just go into that and to just accept it. I can't see the bigger picture. I sometimes cannot see the beauty that's being carved, but I trust that's it can't be otherwise.
Yes. That I can't see the beauty that's being created, but I surrender the fear of the experience of being carved out. And it's such a glorious shift to know, to think that being carved out is sacred too.
Yes. And I just saw conditioned mind asserting that it's part of what the Course going to, what is it, holding everything as a sacred act. You know, does it mean moving at a certain speed? Does it mean, you know?
Yeah, which is, it comes down, so you might as well not think about spiritual practice.
Right. And to just, you know, I don't know. But
truly,
I do know.
Truly.
Yeah.
In other words, what you're saying at some level is, I know what's sacred. Mm-hmm. I know the experience is sacred. I don't have to figure it out.
Because
the experience of sacred is different. Yeah. Every moment.
Yeah, it's that resonance again, isn't it? You know, you just know when, that's the place.
I do know when bread happens through me as an act of worship, very different from when bread happens through me in an act of not worship.
Exactly. Yeah, just looking at the number of times when it's getting it done versus being in that place of going to church. No, I mean, you know.
Going to church. Going to the meditation hall.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I think what you're also pointing out, which is very important, is, and when that place is getting it done, the sacredness is being done for us. Right? That is the opportunity to be carved. And so we don't experience it as a sacred act, but we're the recipients of it.
I love that, the sacredness is being done
for us.
Once again, there's just no to-do list.
And there's no separation.
And there's no separation, just that. So.
Thank you. Janice, you want to come around?
What I noticed was I was listening outside to my recorder, and I had randomly picked up one of my recorders to bring on the trip, and it happened to be from 2 years ago, and it was going through precepts renewal and, like, you know, the Bodhisattva vow and things like that. And as I was sitting outside in the deluge and enjoying the whole experience, the bodily experience of the rain falling and the earth just soaking it up, I actually heard conditioning say, well, listen to all those things that you said 2 years ago. You haven't learned anything new. And it was just quick like that. It was like, wow, I actually don't have to learn anything, you know, and I don't need anything new because I'm new every moment.
Yes.
And so I recorded that, how... It's quite a marvelous thing to be constantly in flux.
Yes, constantly in renewal, we could say.
Yes.
Such a delightful moment of awareness, of knowing that this is the only thing that's about knowledge, and this is about presence. And so in every moment of presence, I'm just here with what is so now. Nothing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it was like the dance experience, mm-hmm. and about we know, or I know, how to do that.
Uh-huh. How to dance. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, or how to receive the moment.
Yeah. And be in the rhythm.
And be in the rhythm, yes. Yeah, we could imagine the tree saying, oh, I know what rain feels like. I don't need it anymore. It's pointless.
Yes. And one of the many experiences yesterday was just being asked what has transformed in the last year.
Uh-huh.
And when everybody went off to walk the bridge, and that was my option to sit down and just think about that. And I just wrote that that all is included in the circle of acceptance. And I just thought, how much has transformed in this year,
mm-hmm.
to expand that circle, mm-hmm. to push out separation,
yeah.
uh-huh. and also include when separation happens, uh-huh. to see that too as uh-huh. part of.
Yes. So the transformation was an expansion of the circle of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's exciting to see that that is what the capacity is for us as we practice, is that everything gets included. Instead of separation, we move towards inclusion.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, such a movement, isn't it? Such a transformation.
Yes.
Was there more?
Well, I would just think that there's been many times where I won't include that I notice I'm pulling and being separated or isolating, or I won't include something that's quote negative.
Uh-huh.
I won't look at something like anger, some other experiences, and realize, I mean, the resistance that happens is just intensifies everything.
Yes.
And so that heartfelt inclusion of it, not indulging it, but really including it. And
That's such a beautiful point you're making, the distinction between indulgence and inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because one, I project, points to being able to accept all that is for what it is, versus indulgence, which is an ego preference. I want this or I don't want this, which is what you're pointing at. That when it's not that we're not present to what is, but we don't include when we engage the attention in a conversation about exclusion, right?
Right.
It's not that whatever is going on is negative or positive or is not included. It's just we're having a conversation about its non-inclusion, which makes it exclusive. Yeah. 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 And so when we stop indulging a conversation of exclusion, what we get is an expansion of acceptance.
Yeah, and that everything is okay.
Yes, everything's okay.
In whatever moment that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and it seems the word has to be and, right?
Yeah.
Everything is okay. Thank you. Okay, let's come down here. Renee and then Kristen and Monica and then this side.
Yeah, I really love the every act is sacred idea, or practice, I guess would be a better way to say it. Because I'm at the bridge walk yesterday, I was noticing it didn't used to be a practice experience for me.
The bridge walk?
Mm-hmm. Right, it used to be just kind of an outside of practice. You go and you can't talk to anybody and you just try to keep the privileged environment.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it was kind of a little even uncomfortable to go in early years. And but yesterday, it was like that. Every act was sacred. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have that conversation going on. And it was a practice experience.
Uh-huh.
You know.
A true practice experience.
A true practice experience. And there was... It was like being able to enjoy all of the acts of love and really hearing what everyone said, and seeing everyone was joyful, and there wasn't that ego thing going on about, I don't know, if you make a mistake, someone's going to say something, or you know, whatever it was. And I just really enjoyed. And there was even this process of, because it used to be like it was over really fast, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had said something to her or him or whatever. And but I was in the moment going, okay, who do I want to say hi to? Who do I want to, you know, it was more like really looking and watching and paying attention. And what I noticed about it was that the memory of it is so much bigger. You know, like, I remember all these little acts and all these fun things, and you know, and the wind and the and the you know, it was a sensory experience, which you did it sometimes. It's just usually a hot one. This was a different one.
So may I reflect?
Yeah,
Renee, I think, or rather reframe. I think what you're saying is, when we're in the conversation, we're in a place of separation. And so everything feels kind of a little uncomfortable and hostile and not very participatory. But your experience this time was an expanded awareness. It was an experience of presence. That you were here, you were paying attention, it was all inclusive, and there was a sense of participation. Right? I'm participating in every moment wholeheartedly, not engaged in a conversation. And that's what makes it a practice experience. Because what we're doing is paying attention, expanding awareness, and experiencing directly everything there is to be experiencing instead of indulging a conversation.
Yes, exactly. And it was, what was just arising was it wasn't about me.
It wasn't about ego.
You know, it wasn't about me. You know, nothing, you know, if my kids did something wrong, it wasn't about me. Wrong, you know, in quotes.
Yes.
If somebody, you know, whatever, just wasn't about me.
Yeah.
If you went and got a hot dog at the head, it wouldn't have been about me.
It's amazing. Yes, it's amazing, right? How much we notice the conversation of doing something wrong focuses the attention on the ego, on I, me, mine. And if it's there, you can't be present.
Yeah.
And to be present enough to have that awareness, right? That there's nothing wrong. I'm not indulging a conversation that makes the whole world and all of its actions mean something about me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It was relaxing and just fun. And enjoyable. Didn't have. You know, so I can just see over 15 years of going, I think I missed 1 year, but you know, all the years of going, it's just such a huge difference in the joy that I experienced from going.
Yes, it is what practice assists us with, right? To experience the freedom of the joy of the present moment when we're not indulging a conversation.
Right.
And it's so fun to go to something like that and realize that that's where I am.
Yeah. Well, and just recently I was looking at personal stuff and how conditioning keeps it separate. Like you were just saying about how the beating the rug or whatever that phrase is, that those things that I consider problems or issues or things that aren't settled or worked out are actually not separate either. You know, because there's conditioning's always like, but that's not right. You know, that's not fixed. and they're not separate. And so just get out of that conversation about those things too.
Right. Because being in the conversation is what creates the separation. It's not that they're it's what we're looking at with Janice. It's not that the things are separate. It's that there's a conversation about things being separate that makes them separate.
Yeah.
So if we exit the conversation, we don't have separation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with them.
And there's nothing wrong with them, which is your felt experience of being at the bridge walk.
Right.
Not being in a conversation about right or wrong or what it means about me assists us to be here and wholeheartedly participating in whatever it is that's going on in the moment. Wind and hot dogs.
Yeah. There were no hot dogs.
There were no hot dogs. Like, for the record, there were no hot dogs.
It could have happened.
It could have happened.
because there would have been a rebellious streak, you know, to do something like that, maybe. But now it didn't, so.
Yes, well, and that's the, I don't know, were you the one who was tempted with the hot dogs, or was it somebody else? I mean, was the hot dog something your sons wanted to do, or you wanted to do?
No, I'm just saying, what he could have brought it back, you know.
I see.
And but and it didn't even cross my mind there, it just arose here, because one year he did go do that, when he was little. And so it's like, you know, I was worried about it before. Like, there was conversation going on about, oh my God, he's probably going to go get a hot dog, you know. But that, you know, that wasn't happening yesterday. It was like, everything was not about me. It was whatever happened is fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, he actually was chewing tobacco on the way in the car. And he does that just to get to me. And then, so he could have done that with their, you know, I don't know. Anyway, you know what I mean? I didn't care. Like, there just wasn't a conversation going on about it.
Yeah, which is the point.
Yeah.
Which is really the point.
That's the point, yeah. And however he is, it's okay. You know, just whatever he wants to do. I did some things when I was a teenager that weren't that one thing. So it was just really joyful and pleasant.
Yeah, we're free to be present and enjoy it.
And it felt like everything was sacred. You know, just the whole day was beautiful and sacred. And
it's extraordinary, as you said, how we keep the memory of that. Mm-hmm. Like the body, the intelligence registers it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the memory. It's just like I don't know how to describe it. It's like
you can go
picture
there.
Frame, little pictures just pop up, you know, and it's just joyful for memories of it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris.
So I too enjoyed the instructions to get to know someone, but don't be social.
Get to know someone and don't be social.
Just as a kind of a nice reframe on being with people and, you know, in a non-social way, that because conditioning does tend to just cut it off. So if we can't be social, then I can't say anything. I can't actually be with this other person in any kind of a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And then now the information comes in to that closed system that says, perhaps not, you know. There's another option here to get to know someone in a kind of practice-related way. So I just find that to be refreshing. As usual, any container expansion is really
yes. Any container expansion. It seems to be that's what practice gives us, handles for container expansion.
Yeah.
We're coming up with some interesting phrases that are going to go out to Sangha today. Container expansion.
The other day I was listening to a podcast, which was someone who is a coach. Who trains other life coaches.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that he said was that as he trains these people, they get to this point where they have the teaching and it's time to get clients. And what gets said to him, what he said people say to him often is, I don't know how to do that. And right away he came back with, well, what that means is you don't want to. Another container opening experience. And it really seems that way because and there's a number of occasions. Letting life lead. Anytime I ask conditioning, that's what I get to do that. That's what I get. But I don't know how to do that. And so that little shift then seems to focus the attention towards the block that's in the way, which is kind of what he was saying, but that if you look, there's fear there. There's something else that's going on that really is that don't want to, the resistance piece of it, and then it comes back as a, but I don't know how to collect this, like legitimizing that experience in some way.
So let me see if I'm with you, Chris. So are you pointing to the fact that I don't know how is just another way, a much more acceptable way of saying, of ego's resistance,
yeah.
to saying, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What we're experiencing in that moment is fear or some ego response that says, there's a container opening opportunity that's happening,
yeah.
and I don't want that awareness to get expanded or acceptance to be widened, and so I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
no has some socially acceptable ways.
Yeah.
Where it's
yeah.
okay, oh, you don't know, let me tell you how. And then that just gets put into the fodder
exactly.
for more, I don't want you.
Right.
However that shows up.
That works for you.
Yes.
But
it doesn't work for me because I'm this sort of a human being with these kinds of life experiences
yeah.
and this kind of a schedule. And
yeah.
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 Yeah. And it's an interesting place because, you know, again, it seems for any spiritual practitioner type, and in the instance with these coaches, that all of what's been happening has been going towards some place that a person wants to be. And then to reach a place of saying, but I don't know how to. This seems really
counterintuitive.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that there's all this effort that's gone into to I would project being right on the precipice, and then mm-hmm. that's the answer that keeps the that keeps that final step off into the abyss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
letting go.
And letting go.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the way that dropped in for me when you said that was what all of what we're conditioned to do, because conditioning is not life, is to say no.
Yeah.
And so to focus on how it won't work as opposed to focusing on how to make it work.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know is a focus back onto how is this not going to work.
Yeah.
And if at that moment
exactly.
we can shift the attention to I'm open to making it work, then the
yep.
focus of attention shifts to falling off the precipice instead of staying or going
right.
back.
How soon can I fall off the precipice, right?
Yes.
Rather than let me hang out on the edge a little while longer. And, yeah, and that brings it back to, I think, where this came up for me was with that idea that everything is sacred. That feels like one of those reframes that
yes.
takes the attention off of looking behind, you know, bringing the past into the present. And then just leaves all that behind and goes, oh, but wow, there's that experience.
Yes.
And then it just seems like all the rest of it doesn't matter. All of the little strings that conditioning might have to pull away from that experience can be kind of easily brushed aside from the devices.
Yeah. Yes. So the resistance melts.
Resistance
if
melts.
We can
yeah.
we can get to alignment, right? To finding the rhythm of harmony with
yeah.
life. Actually
yeah.
is the process of melting away the resistance because
yeah.
harmony is not resistance.
Yeah.
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 yeah, and it brings it back to what you were talking about, the reframe in the first place, which is, well, I don't know how to be social, how
yeah.
to be with people without being
yeah.
social, because we're conditioned to being with people in a particular way.
It's
but
like,
as soon as I drop
yeah.
that and go, well, let me find out what that means,
yeah.
I've gone out of the I don't know process to discovery,
yeah.
which is what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then,
sorry, go ahead.
Almost automatically, something drops in.
That's
it's
right. Like, well, because if we're all one, Chris, we know each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
good
we're
point.
Just we're mirroring and recognizing goodness, love, compassion on a process level, no matter what the content is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have plenty of time, so I am coming this side. Monica.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, I have so many ideas that I'm thinking about, I'm trying to choose, but I was thinking yesterday about the transformations, and I wasn't thinking of tons and tons of transformations, but just sitting here listening to everybody, and even in the sit, I just started to accumulate just all these different transformations in the air coming in. And maybe the biggest one is just this idea that everything is okay, like that I'm okay, and no matter what content is going on, and no matter how many ways ego can convince me to worry, I also have in the background that it's all going to be okay. And it's just such a relief, and so it's so huge because it's no matter what it does, no matter what the system does, there's a true understanding and belief that everything is going to be fine, and also not needing to know how things are. I used to always say, "What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen?" You know, it's like whatever is going to happen, I'm going to meet it, and it's going to be okay. And not that it's going to work out the way I want it to work out, but it's going to be okay.
Yes. Well, if I may stop you, it's such an important point, because when we start out in practice, it is that whatever it is that's drawing us to practice, that is that conviction of okayness waiting to be realized.
Yes.
And we have to go through all of this work in order to let go of that which worries.
Yes.
And to arrive at that place in ourselves where we know what is so already, but now we know what is so already, right? It's ever-expanding faith and constant devotion. So the devotion leads to that grounding sense of there is truly nothing wrong. And if I have enough experience of being present to life, what I receive is the comfort of knowing I can be present to life independent of circumstances.
But I also wanted to go back to something from earlier, because in the practice intensive, one of my texts was, there's still this idea of this, I don't know, since I was born in the 60s, or this kumbaya sort of orientation, but it's like there's, if I'm relaxed and peaceful and kind and generous and all of those things, and I'm connected to life, and when I'm irritable or bossy or whatever, then somehow I'm identified. And the guidance was, what if it's all life, no matter how I'm acting? I just want to hear you say again about, like, even if the act isn't sacred, the sacredness is happening. Whatever you were saying earlier, like, I just want to hear more about that.
Well, I think the way Sherry often says it, right, is there is nothing outside of life. If it's here, it simply is. Right? I mean, there's nothing outside of life. So nothing. Truly nothing outside of life. And all of what we experience are life experiences. And the only thing, including this, that which causes suffering, that which beats you up, I project, for anything less than absolute perfection, is what's causing that sense of dis-ease, right? That if I'm this way, it's fine. If I'm this way, it's not. But the problem is not whether you're one way or the other, within quotes. It's that there's a process that thinks so.
Right. Exactly.
Which is also part of the experience of intelligence knowing itself.
Right. Yeah, and that's exactly right. And it's as simple as that, and then conditioning can make it smutty. And it does get into that indulgence, or I think I forget the word that was used, but there's indulgence and there's intention, or
yes.
Kind of just being flip about it. Well, I don't know. It's somehow like I don't know what
well,
I'm saying.
Well, may I?
Yeah.
Mike, I don't know if this is what you're looking at, but here's the thing. In the largest sense of the word, there is nothing outside of life, so everything is acceptable. And then we have that experience of another way we say it, right? I love you exactly the way you are, and I'll help you be however you want to be. So there's a growing sense of, as we align, as we dance, as we tune into the rhythm of life, there are certain ways we want to be, which cause us less suffering. Right? And so your process is tuning to those ways, including not listening to a voice that condemns you for being in a particular way that you don't choose. Right?
Yeah.
And that's simply it. You're in a process. Mm-hmm. So the thing that always drops in for me is I love trees. And roots, right? Roots trying to find their way through the soil encounter stones. Mm-hmm. You have to encounter the stone to know you want to grow around it. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is something that we're working with that we keep encountering, that life keeps encountering and working with till it understands how to move past it. Mm-hmm. But the seeking is for water, not in itself the process of irritation, mm-hmm. right? It's irritating, I mean, the thing rubs all the time before it goes round, or water rubs all the time before the canyon can be carved. And so there's no condemnation for the process of awakening. Mm-hmm. Whatever states we might be in it while we're waking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, yeah, I'm just seeing how the conversation keeps, you know, there might be some way to go back and do, I don't know, make amends or something, but if there's a conversation about how horrible I am because I was in that state, then there's no expansion of the container, there's no other way to navigate.
Yes, but even accepting, so to me, it's really interesting practice to watch that process, right? So something arises, and then there is a conditioned reaction to it. You don't even know if it's a conditioned reaction or an appropriate response, right? You're not allowed to know that because you're not present.
Yeah.
As soon as it's over, what do they call the quarterbacks? The Sunday, Monday morning, whatever quarterbacks show up to say, okay, well, that was a bad experience. You shouldn't have gotten irritated. But if, for example, there's a huge surge of energy against somebody who is acting inappropriately, and that energy is required to meet the action, mm-hmm. why is it inappropriate? Mm-hmm. We don't even have a chance to see, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And so that arises, and then we register, oh, maybe at the level of intelligence that the registration is, I'm suffering in this moment. So what do I learn from that? Life, can I be open to being something being dropped in about how it could be different? Mm-hmm. And the learning could simply be that intelligence dropping in to know, I want a different choice, mm-hmm. not making reparation. Mm-hmm. Right? It's awareness that transforms. Mm-hmm. And so you can practice a change in behavior till there's a change in consciousness and the conditioned reaction is not what shows up in a trigger situation. Mm-hmm. But the transformation happens as in encountering it, moving past, looking for what is available to me to wear away that groove. Doesn't make you a bad person. That's ego taking that personally, becoming a person to say, it's because of who I am that I'm irritable. Mm-hmm. In fact, the highest moment of transformation comes when you can see that happening and not go, that's me. Mm-hmm. That's ego is the best separation we want to go for. I'm not a bad person. Conditioning, or that conditioned groove, is what's acting out.
Yeah, the conditioned groove, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
All harmful thoughts, words, and deeds from the beginning of beginningless time caused mm-hmm. by greed, hate, and delusion through body, mouth, and mind, I openly acknowledge, accept, embrace, and let go. I take responsibility for all. Mm-hmm. All of it. Only because it's not mine to take responsibility for. Mm-hmm. That's it, right?
Yeah.
That's the place of true freedom.
Yeah.
That's ego. Not this.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, Christine and then Catherine.
That was really helpful. So a bamboozle that I saw this morning.
Can you hear back there? A bamboozle that you saw this morning?
Yeah. So I saw a bamboozle and then I started doing the practicing in my mind, how will I share this bamboozle? And then I was told, the reason that you're reciting and practicing is because you forget. You're going to forget the bamboozle and then you won't be able to share.
So it's just so, I don't know what the word
on
is.
On and on. So what I was being told is that you, it says, you're acting, you're at the monastery, so now you're acting in a way that is appropriate to the monastery. This isn't authentically you. You're acting the way you're supposed to act at the monastery. That's not authentically you. And I, for some reason, I had my reporter. No, not that one. For some reason, I didn't believe it because it's. And I could see
you were at the monastery.
I don't know why. It feels kind of like. So I definitely. It felt so good to finally not believe that. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the wearing away thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like,
yes.
I would believe that. And even when I was with my son for a day or two, and I'm told when I'm around him, you're just acting like a good mom so that you don't make waves. But it's completely not true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it just feels so good.
Yes.
It feels so good to just not be controlled by that anymore. Mm-hmm. Just to relax my whole body and just say, I'm done with that.
I'm calling your bluff.
Because it's not true at all. What's true is I know the experience of just I'm not acting, I'm just being, and it feels good to just I know what is kind for all, like Sherry has said, and my mind is like, am I doing the thing where this is best for all? Am I doing that? And actually, I don't need to even question. That's what I am. I mean, I know that. And it just, I guess it's just been building up or something. It's so mean and horrible for that voice to take that over. So, because I know the order of it. First, I am just fine how I'm acting. It's all just perfectly fine. And then conditioning jumps on and says, you're just doing that because you're supposed to be acting.
Yes.
So... I'm free.
Yes, you are. We all are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's such an exquisite experience, right, that you're pointing at, which is what the Church of Joy, when intelligence recognizes itself and ceases to believe what it's been told all this while, the scales fall off.
Yeah.
And there's that glorious moment of looking in the mirror and loving what we see.
Yeah.
Because what's reflected back is the goodness that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to believe the lies anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels good to... And that experience of ego, like just so wanting to like control it all. And it feels so good to just relax, and there's just nothing... There's no way that whatever ego says I don't have to do that.
No, you don't have to believe it. In other words, if I may, Christine, project what you're saying is authenticity knows it's good. It acts out of goodness because goodness is what it is.
Yeah.
And so to just relax in knowing that that's what's arising, and ceasing to believe the falsehood, it's just it's a liberating experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true, it's a function of practice, right? Because before we would have fallen for the lie and felt bad that I'm inauthentic. I'm inauthentic because I'm acting the way the monastery wants me to act, or my son wants me to act as a good mother.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that where it's arising from is the source of goodness itself, and that happens to be animating that form.
Yeah.
It's, to me, the it's, I always say it this way, that we don't want to diss the divine. Right? Every time we listen to self-hate,
mm-hmm.
what we're doing is dismissing the intelligence that's animating this form.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we cease to indulge self-hate, we can celebrate the intelligence that's animating that form.
Yeah. And as you say that, it does feel like we're all, you know, it's not, oh, I'm so great now. Like there's not that nothing. We're all the same. It's all it is just like this energy that like bumps into me and then like, oh yeah, thank you. And then it goes over there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like it's all.
It's so impersonal,
well,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely impersonal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And therefore
so
universal.
Nice. Yeah.
And unique.
And what?
Unique.
Yeah, because
yeah.
I don't know why, but it just is, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can say that with a smile and a laughter and no sense of ownership. It's
yeah.
the exact opposite of embracing all karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Right? It's both sides of the karma.
Mm-hmm.
The credit goes to life, the blame goes to me.
Mm-hmm.
The universal me.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Catherine.
Is there an authentic, I don't want to?
I have no idea. Say more.
Well, maybe we come out as like a no thanks. You know, maybe not. Just, there are things I really don't want to do. And if been given the opportunity, I would probably say, well, it's really nice of you to ask, but I don't want to do that.
Well, here's where I go to with something like that when I look at it. Catherine, it would be great for you to have that conversation with Sherry. But to me, is the I don't genuinely want to. I mean, as Sherry says, if there's something that I say I don't want to, I'm going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's why. The question that we want to look at is, am I at choice in my refusal?
Mm-hmm.
So from a conditioned perspective, yeah, these are the things I like doing, these are the things I don't like doing, so I'm not going to do these, and I'm going to do these. But if I'm told to take the garbage out in the pouring rain, and I feel like my whole world is going to come apart because I'm going to have to do that, as a spiritual practitioner, I'm not sure I'm free. If freedom is what I'm going for, freedom from this, then I want to look at everything where I'm not allowed to do something just as an opportunity to discover whether that is truly so, whether I'm being controlled by this, or whether that is a response that's arising truly from life.
Well, okay. I think I see that, or at least some of that. Okay, so I'm a vegan, and at the monastery I am sometimes invited to eat non-vegan. And so I kind of struggle with that, so that, well, no, you know, my first reaction is, well, no, I'll eat around it, or, you know, or eat salad. And then I wonder, is what's happening?
Uh-huh. Really?
And like, now, and with that, I'm going, there's indecision, there's a conversation. If somebody said, here's some pork chops, there would be no conversation.
Mm.
You know, it would just be, oh no, thank you.
Well, to
you know, so there, yeah. is there a difference, or am I just...
Well, to me, the fascinating part of that whole thing, to me, you're describing the point of the question that you're asking.
Mm.
So why is it that with pork chops, I say, I have no conversation going about it. Why is it with vegan at the monastery, I do have a conversation going about it? Because what conditioning tells us is that we have to be decisive. So that means with pork chops, maybe one experience of that is, I'm done. Like, I'm done having that. I don't have to explore it anymore. Are you really? Maybe there's something to explore there. Because if there's no conversation, it doesn't mean that there's no exploration required. That's an even greater place to look. Because it's a known quantity, we're not going to explore that. Well, here, there is a conversation. Oh, great, let's explore it some more. It's the exploration that we're interested in, which is why we say yes to every no.
Well, it turns into suffering. It doesn't actually explore.
That's right. That's such a brilliant observation.
Back and forth, yes. And not eat. Back
yes.
And forth.
Yes. So what you're pointing at is your process. So something arises that there is a preference about. If it's a preference that there's no conversation about, there's no exploration. If there's a preference that there's a conversation about, it turns into suffering. So why does it turn into suffering? Let me look at that. How can I learn how to explore without it becoming a dualistic conversation in conditioned mind? That's where you're practicing, right? And it sounds like in looking at this particular thing, what you're seeing is what controls you. And the awareness is all that we're interested in.
So it really doesn't matter if I go out and butcher a hog. It's the conversation.
Well, you'll find out. It's a good thing. I really, let's have this conversation in group this afternoon. Because it is what precepts is about. Right?
So, okay. It comes to a point where it really doesn't matter what you do.
Yes, it does.
If you're okay with it. Okay. No, okay. Then I won't go there.
Yes, it does, in the sense of that original place that we're looking at with this, which is, does it lead towards suffering or does it lead towards freedom? There are certain things that we do that do lead to suffering, that does hurt the heart, that we choose not to. They're not inherently right or wrong in themselves, but they certainly have an impact on whether we're dancing from intuition or we're opposing life.
Okay, I'm thoroughly confused.
Good.
So I'm probably right in the right place.
Exactly so. Because there is nothing inherently right or wrong or good or bad in anything.
Yes.
Exactly. That in that sense, nothing matters, and in that sense, everything does.
Okay, I don't get the everything does.
But that's because this is always deciding what's right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. So how does the heart decide? I mean, I'm 70 years old in a couple months. Have I ever followed my heart?
What a great question.
You know, because it's karma. Practice is a lot of karma for me. Striving. I'm going to try this religion. I'm going to try this religion. I'm going to try. And here I am in Buddhism. I converted to so many religions, it would make your head spin. And is karma is. So am I in the right place?
And does it matter?
Yeah, good question. I don't know.
Because if I is there, it's probably not the right place. But you're asking the question, which is so the right approach.
Will I get an answer?
I think you should examine what's asking that question.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. To be continued, because that is the path we're on. Not the path of seeking the answer, but being open to the question, or questioning. Okay, we're at time, Jen.
Completely all right. I was only going to say, it's amazing listening to everyone and realizing that truly all of it is sacred.
Mm-hmm. All of it is sacred.
It really is.
Yeah. Okay, so lunch at noon, I believe, is our next activity, and then we'll be back here at 2:30.